In part two, we're going to discuss Isaiah 52 and a bit of Psalm 98, which is the reading in the Psalm. We've already spoken somewhat about this Ma'naum. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the Mevaser. The word for good news in Hebrew is basar. And so the Mevaser is the one pronouncing this good news, pronouncing the good news of peace, pronouncing the good news of the good, or the good message, I suppose, of salvation, and saying to Zion, Malach Elohecha, your God has entered his reign. And this is the beautiful news, you see. God has taken history on himself. He is the king. And this is the announcement, and it hasn't started yet. It starts with a blessing on the feet of Gabriel to Mary, the angels to them, and finally then to the apostles, who are saying, God has taken on himself the kingship. Now, it's important to know that a king in that culture is someone who takes care of those who can't take care of themselves. The king's primary duty is to care for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, because they have no one else to take care of them. There was no police force back there. So if I have, you know, six brothers and 14 cousins, I'm safe. Who's going to mess with me? You try it, I'll get all my clan, and we'll go beat you up and kill you. But if I'm a stranger, or an orphan, or a widow, who's going to take care of me? The king. That's his job. I think I mentioned this once before, and how King Hussein used to do that every, I think, Thursday afternoon. I have a funny story that goes with it. I don't think I mentioned last time. Bishop Joseph Rayyan, he's reigning happily in heaven now. He was the bishop of Haifa. And this fellow came in with two babies. His wife had had twins. So he's holding these babies and saying, you have got to help me. I mean, you're my bishop. You've got to take care of me. Find me a job. Find me some money. I've got to take care of these babies. And it's your job to help me out. And Joe was saying, I'll do what I can. Finally, he plunked the two babies on the desk and wicked out, went out. So Bishop Joe picked up the two babies and ran after him and said, here, take your babies back. I'll do what I can. But it was no doubt in that man's mind that Joe was supposed to help him because he had no one else to help him. So when we hear king, we don't think of king in the modern Western sense of the term. The king's main job was to take care of those who couldn't take care of themselves. And so, like at the end, I think it's Psalm 19, we say, Suri v'malki, my rock and my king. I got nobody else. You're the only one who can take care of me. So here, when it says, Adonai Malach, or Elohecha, is it? Yes, your God reigns. He's going to take care of all those who can't take care of himself, which means all the exiles, which means for us, everyone. Who can achieve salvation by himself? Who can preach the gospel by himself? No one. And so we need, and certainly no one can enter heaven by himself. So he's our king. That's what we mean when we have that feast, Christ the King, which we've already spoken about. So that's the message, you see. Now, how beautiful, a blessing on the feet of the one who brings this good news. A blessing. The Orientals have those beautiful expressions. If you do something for someone to help out, you know, carry a baggage across the street for a woman, something like that. She'll say, it's Lemidech, may God bless your hands. You see, it's part of the, so a blessing on the feet of this one bringing this good news, who is saying that your God reigns, your God is king. Listen, sentinels are lifting up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord through Zion. Yes, I thought it was. The text says, for in plain sight, this is just for your information. Ayin by ayin. Eye in eye. Eye by eye. It's translated plain sight. They have him in their sights. They see him. By his, in their eyes, they see him. See? And they see the return of the Lord, the Shuv Adonai, the return of the Lord to Zion. That's very interesting in many ways. I doubt if maybe some of the rabbis would dare to pick this up. The word for repent and return, you know, is Shuv, to come back. You know, return my people means convert. Tshuva is the word for conversion. Here it says, God has returned. And I never thought of it before, but that's the way Scripture is. God had a conversion. I've changed my mind. I'm going to help you. Now, I don't know how daring we could be with that, preaching it, but it's certainly, it's admissible from the text, you know. It says that they see the return of Adonai to Zion, back to his place. Okay. Break forth into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. Now, do you remember, I've said before, how this one book of Isaiah from chapters 1 to 66 is one book, written over centuries, but one book. Here's a classic example. We are now in chapter 52, right? Do you remember how chapter 40 begins? Console, console my people. Nachmu, nachmu ami. And here it says, you see, God has comforted his people. It's reflecting back, tying the book together. This is why the rabbis, the old men of the book, who used to study all day, why they got to know the Bible so well. They saw how it tied together. Okay? The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And there again we have that beautiful notion of the salvation, the protection, everything that almost that the word in Greek soteria means. It means to be rescued and kept intact. The truck's coming down the road and there's a baby in the road and I go out and get that baby. I save the baby. The truck didn't hit it and I'm holding it and the baby's intact. That's salvation. You understand? That's why it can't be, are you saved? Because it means God picked me up out of the road and is holding me in heaven. But it's so beautiful, okay? They have seen the salvation of our God. They have seen God come and do this for us. That's what Christians should be able to show. Their family life, their friendliness, their generosity, their forgiveness, you see, is showing forth the salvation. Now, Psalm that goes with that is Psalm 98. And it goes, sing to the Lord a new song. Why a new song? Because something new has happened. These are the celebration psalms. This is Psalm 98. With St. Augustine who said, we should be one new song from head to foot. The new song because something new has been done. Namely, God himself has become incarnate. He's come to talk to us heal us, instruct us, ultimately take all our sins of the whole world on himself and bring us back to the Father. You see? And that's the good news. That's the salvation. And so it starts, you see, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. Well, actually, the word again is salvation, but it can have this meaning of victory. Okay, if you get into a fight and you win, you're saved. See what it means? Okay. Or if somebody comes along and beats the other fellow up, you're still saved, you know. Okay. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication on the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. This is a key notion. Lizkor, to remember. See, when I look in the mirror in the morning and shave, I say, that's the same fellow I shaved yesterday. See, memory is the principle of continuity. That's why memory in God's people do this in memory of me. But what does it mean that God remembered? It meant that God acts consistently. He promised and he comes through. Now that's the wonderful thing about a promise. You see, God could say, I'm going to do this for you. That's right. But he doesn't. He says, I swear I'll do it. And now we know that since justice is honoring the truth of every relationship, and he has sworn to help us, that's his justice. His justice is helping us because he swore he'd do it. And so here we have the same notion with the idea of salvation. You see? He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. When was the last time you were that excited about salvation? You know, St. Teresa of Avila, one day, they tell, she was in choir with all the nuns. They were all doing their, you know, singing their breviary. She said, sister, she put it down. She ran out into the middle of the choir. She said, sisters, put these things down. We have to sing from our hearts to God. Let's praise him. Now, with our own hearts, our own minds, we have to praise him. When was the last time, all by yourself, you sang thanksgiving to God for salvation? The more real salvation becomes, the more we want to sing. And that's the new song. And that's what we're urged to do, you see? And then the last part, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord, you see? Praise him. This is why, in the charismatic renewal, one of the signs is praise. Why? Because with experiential faith comes a realization of who God is and what he's done. And so we praise him. Sing a song to God. You know? So if somebody says, oh, let us sing to God, you can't say, no, I don't want to do that. See, that's a lack of faith. That's the end of that psalm. Now we'll be ready to do the letter to the Hebrews.